Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, hold on to your beer bodkin, Tammy, because you're listening to the Inexplicable Dumb Show with your host, John Malden!
Hi, and welcome to episode 246 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden. And this week I've got Jason Michaels joining me. Jason is a magician and an illusionist, and an all-around great guy. So he's going to talk a little bit about magic and what he's up to through the month of September. So let's get into it right after these brief messages.
If you like what you hear on the Inexplicable Dumb Show, why not take a minute or two to fill out our listener survey? By filling out this anonymous survey, you'll make it possible for us to attract potential advertisers so we can keep bringing you the show for free. Go to our website and click the listener survey button to start now. www.inexplicabledumbshow.com.
When guests can't appear in the studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
Bad credit? No credit? High interest credit cards? Don't work from home. Working from home is for suckers. Go out there with headshot in hand. Audition. Book gigs. It'll be time well spent. At least you'll be paying the rent.
Here's how.
Well, IDSers, I've got Jason Michaels. We're going off the beaten path a little bit. I've got Jason Michaels, magician, this week, stopping by the show. So, hi, Jason. How are you?
I'm great, John. Excited to be talking to you today. I'm good. Just trying to stay busy.
Well, that's good. I hear you. I'm trying to do that myself. Full disclosure, IDSers, Jason and I are cohorts back in the day at a lovely old MTSU.
That's right.
Back many moons ago. But where the idea bug kind of hit us, it kind of drove Jason into a different direction. So you went the magic route, the illusion route, and you've been doing really good, great guns from what I hear and understand. And I just had Denise Hicks on the other day, and I realized that you did a pre-show for Romeo and Juliet. So
yeah.
Why don't we talk a little bit about that and then kind of head into what's next for you through the rest of this month?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I... Now, as you mentioned, you know, I was interested in magic the same time I was studying theater. And when I got done with school, some interesting opportunities opened up for me. And I decided to follow magic and learn from, you know, some really big time illusionists. And then I decided to kind of do my own thing. And what was cool was last year, and I have been doing this for quite some time now, but last year I got in touch with the Shakespeare Festival. And, you know, because... in 2000, let's see, I competed in several international magic competitions in 2005 with an act that I had created. I took my interest in Shakespeare, and I combined it with a classic magic trick known as the Cups and Balls trick, and I kind of created a Shakespearean street performer-type character and performed this magic trick in these international competitions, and it did really well. It didn't win, but it took second place at both of the competitions among a bunch of magicians from all over the world, and that was in 2005. Well, last year I was just thinking, you know, magicians like this and normal people, they just hire me to do, you know, their, you know, private events and whatever, whether it be in a theater or corporate event or whatever, they like it. But the people who would really enjoy it are people, you know, that are theater people, people who go to see plays and shows and Shakespeare and that type of stuff. So I contacted Denise last year and said, "Hey, if you have any spots left, I would love to do your pre-show." And they did, and I did one of the spots out there for their Shakespeare in the Park last year. And I got talking to Denise afterwards, and she said, "You know, we're doing this performance for winter performance in January, and we're looking for an opening act. I'd love to talk to you about that." So we chatted a couple of times and tried to basically get an idea of what she was wanting, and I created something specific. I of course used that character, that Cups and Balls Shakespearean street performer character, but I also created about a 30-minute opening act type of show for her show Shakespeare's Case in January, and I just had a blast. I did it for 3 weeks with them, and just had a great time. And then they asked me, they said, "Hey, you know, do you have any dates available to come back?" And I just did the pre-show for them. What was that? Was that Friday night? A couple days ago. And you know, I love performing for that type of audience, because they're the type of people that they want to use their imagination. They want to have fun. They can appreciate some of the subtle things, some of the jokes that maybe other people don't get, and the whole idea behind it. And I had a blast as always. And so it's always a pleasure to be out there with them.
Oh, cool. So you enjoyed the park then?
Yeah, I did. You know, it's funny because, you're out there and it harkens back to, you know, it's hardcore, you know, you're like, really, you're projecting hard to try to get, because you're out in the open air and you're trying to project to hit the back of the, you know, the very back people in the back row, and you're trying to, you know, use big gestures and stuff like that so everybody can see. But it's fun. It poses a few challenges, but what doesn't? There's always a challenge somewhere. So
that's very true. That's very true. So you've done Shakespeare outside. Where are you going next? Where are you going through the month of September?
Yeah, I'm actually leaving tomorrow. I am going to get on a cruise ship for pretty much most of the end of this month and then all of September. Yeah, I'll be back in the very end of September, but I'm going to be working on a cruise ship out of West Palm Beach and going back and forth to the Bahamas and performing. They have me perform two shows a night every other night, and I do some magic and some illusions, and just try to amuse and amaze their people. You know, just try to have a good time with them. So I'm looking forward to that. That's fun. It's always a good time. I've done it several times. And every time that I do it, it's just always, it's a different type of audience because, you know, you might have, like, for instance, you might work for like a corporate audience doing what I do. I work for all sorts of different groups, and a corporate audience is a very different type of audience than, say, a theater audience or even an audience on a cruise ship, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I really enjoy, these folks, because they just really, the key to them is, well, you know, let's just have a good time. That's really all they want, you know, between the free food and the drinks and, you know, the entertainment.
So they're more liquored up on the cruise ship. Is that what you're telling me?
Hey, that's right. What can you say? The bar is set pretty low, man.
Now, all right, so I got to ask a couple questions. I know that you've sponsored I don't know about sponsored is the right word, but you're taking part of several magician groups, and it's kind of a in the Nashville area, and it's kind of a, yeah, you know, meet and trade tricks and, you know, critique and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But when you're out on these cruise ships and everything, do you ever get hit by a random cruising magician? Oh, that doesn't sound right.
Absolutely.
But do they, I mean, are you like the Masons? Is it a secret handshake and suddenly the brotherhood opens up, or are musicians, I know musicians are, but I mean, magicians territorial about some things? And if so, what are they?
Well, yes and no. It's funny because most of the time that I meet people, you can sort of tell when you meet a magician. Now, there's not like a secret handshake or anything that anybody told me about. So if it is, somebody needs to clue me in. But, uh, But you know, you can usually tell because they come up and, you know, like I'll be talking to people after the show, shaking hands and just kind of chatting with them. And you can always tell the magician because they just sort of have this look on their face of, you know, I'm in the know. I kind of know what's going on. And they always want to chat. And but they're all you know, always very nice. And they say, hey, you know, I'm from so-and-so. You know, I know this guy or I know that guy, you know, type of thing. And I really enjoyed that type of performance. The neat thing about magicians is usually that, you know, because they know what's going on, they can appreciate some of the things that maybe a typical audience member might not, just they just wouldn't know about. As far as being territorial, oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. But you know, it's kind of like when I'm out there working, I'm working. And so, I mean, I certainly don't want to like tell everybody, yeah, sure, come take my job. But at the same time, you know, it's like I'm doing what I do. And I just enjoy it so much that I'm just kind of, you know, like very friendly about the whole thing. And, you know, I try to encourage everybody to do their thing. I think that the more magicians that are out there working and doing what they do and doing it well, and that's the key there, doing it well, the better for other folks like me. Because if they're doing it poorly, that's not good for me. But if they're doing it well, then more opportunities arise. People always ask me, they say, hey, what do you think about this guy on TV or that guy on TV? And in pretty much in almost every case, it's a good thing that they're on TV because they keep magic in the public eye. Mm-hmm. And then people realize that this is a viable form of entertainment that they enjoy and that they want to participate in and see. So yeah, I always like meeting magicians. Well, almost always. There is the occasional time when maybe you don't want to, you know, somebody just rubs you the wrong way. But yeah, right. Pretty much almost always enjoy meeting people out when I'm performing. Yeah, you know, they're always very friendly.
Well, that's good. That's good. Now, if you're a magician, are you do you specialize? I mean, I assume that you'd be a sleight of hand guy, or you can be an illusionist person, or you know, a device person. Or I mean, is that kind of how it works? You kind of get started, and then you say, "Oh, I kind of like this field of."
That's a great idea. There, great question, because that is what happens. I mean, most people get started. And they start with, usually they start with small stuff that they can buy. Like you can go to a store and buy a deck of cards. Mm-hmm. That's not a big deal. So, you know, if you happen to, you know, have a book on simple card tricks, that's an easy way to get started. And then once you start learning about magic and once you start learning about the history and what is out there and stuff like that, then after, usually it takes a couple of years to really kind of get an idea for what you really enjoy. Because at first you just want to learn everything. Mm-hmm. And then once you've been there for a little while, you say, okay, I like the sleight of hand type of close-up interactive performance. Or some guys say, oh, I'm more of a stage performer. For instance, myself, I started out with interactive close-up type of card magic and sleight of hand type of stuff. And then my ultimate goal was to be performing on a stage and to be performing illusions, both big and small. And so little by little, I educated myself, you know, as much as I could. And that's the direction I started to head in. And now that's most of what I do. I don't really do the smaller stuff except, you know, from every now and then for fun. Mm-hmm. My performances are on stage. And that's usually what happens. Guys will say, oh, I want to be a close-up magician. I want to be interested in mentalism or mental magic. Or I want to be a stage performer. Or I want to be a classic magic type guy. So, yeah, absolutely.
Now, how do you go about learning this kind of stuff? Because Hogwarts is, a fictional place. But, I mean, so... is it kind of an apprenticeship kind of deal? Do you seek to train with someone who's been in the field a while, or is it just pure dumb luck and hey, here's a book and a video and God bless you?
It happens for everybody a little bit different, but most people will start on their own. You know, there's that initial interest, whether they, you know, see something at the bookstore or just there's that dumb luck. They, you know, run into a magician or somebody shows them something, or they go to a magic shop and learn a simple trick. That's usually how it starts. But most of the people that I know have done some sort of apprentice, you know, kind of mentorship type of thing, because there are magic associations. There are magic clubs all over the country. Well, actually all over the world. And, you know, with the internet nowadays, all you really have to do is look up you know, you can look up the International Brotherhood of Magicians online, or you can look up the Society of American Magicians, the two biggest associations, and you can find the local groups that are near you. And that's the easiest way, is that you go in. And, you know, magicians are known for not telling their secrets. But the truth of the matter is, if you put forth a little bit of effort and you're willing to show them something that you're working on, even if you're brand new and it's the simplest trick in the world, magicians are almost always very friendly about that, and they want to help you learn. They'll say, oh, that was great. Here, take a look at this. What do you think? And then, you know, you start that friendship up, and then you learn really like that. Now, I will mention that with the internet, there is a lot of magic that is performed and taught on YouTube, and it's a new generation. You have a lot of young people out there that are learning usually pretty basic magic tricks online, and that's a great way to get started. It's like the way I started was going to a bookstore. Now these guys are getting started by, you know, learning off the internet, but it doesn't compare to actually having somebody there that can show you, oh, no, hold your finger like this. This is the correct place to put that. No, do this instead. It looks better if you do this. So I always try to let people know that if you can session with or get to know other magicians, that is probably the best way to learn magic.
Cool. Well, who are your learning influences to get you into the form and inspire you to this day and so on?
Yeah, I would have to say that one of my first influences was David Copperfield. I remember watching David Copperfield specials when I was a kid. He would have a new special every year on TV. And what the cool thing, one of the reasons he's probably one of my biggest influences was because even to this day, he's one of the few that actually blended theater and telling stories with his magic. So he would do a vignette. He would do some sort of a skit or a sketch. It was only a couple of minutes long, but it told a story, and it was all about magic. And that's what really made him famous. You know, he was doing things other guys weren't doing. He was creating emotionally charged magic that people, you know, really liked. And so that was a huge influence. And then in 99 or something like that, David Blaine hit the scene. Or maybe it was earlier than that. Anyway, David Blaine hit the scene, and he really created a stir. And I mean, I've been into magic for quite some time, but it just kind of rekindled the flames and kind of set me on fire again. And then I actually worked for a gentleman named Brett Daniels, who worked for him for several years, and he had a big, huge production in a casino. And I worked backstage, and it was just a great opportunity to learn from him. And then nowadays there are some people, but most of the people, you know, the general public would have no idea who they are. There's a couple of magic artistic directors, and there's some writers. There's a gentleman by the name of Eugene Berger who is he's an author. He used to be a teacher of comparative religion for universities, and he was a magician at the same time. And he wrote some just really, really seminal works on magic, one of them being called Magic and Meaning. So the whole idea is that the magic you do really has to have, you know, some sort of meaning behind it. It can't just be special effects over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's kind of where I come from is, you know, that I enjoy really visual, really strong magic, but I always want it to somehow connect to my audience. And, you know, those are the people that I follow the most, the people who talk about that.
So in creating a routine, so it's about building a story as opposed to, I mean, is there a balance? Do you have to construct, yes, I want a story here, but ooh, this is a flashy trick and it needs to go up next against this flashy trick, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. You know, when you're creating something, I would say, oh, just you know, let your creative juices flow and go anywhere you want to with it. See what happens. See what you actually come up with. But when you're like, you know, putting together a show or even a set list of, oh, I do this trick, and then this trick. Yeah, you definitely you have to have your opening trick, which is, you know, usually has to be flashy and grab everybody's attention and prove that you can actually do this stuff and they're with, you know, give them a reason to follow you and say, oh, I want to see this. But then, you know, you pretty quickly want to let them get to know you. And so some of the more, you know, emotionally charged content, the stuff that, that people really latch onto, usually has to come a little bit further. And, you know, I read something one time by a really smart guy, and he said, you need to give them the known before you can give them the lesser known, before you can give them the unknown, which basically meant, you know, your audience, you know, they expect you to be a magician, so give them what they want at the beginning. And then if you're going to take them somewhere they're not expecting you to go, then give them the stuff that maybe they've heard of but they don't know much about, until towards the end you give them the stuff they have no idea even exists, but they're, you know, you took them on that gradual progression so that now they're excited, they're, you know, they're really interested in, and you know, where is this guy going to take me? You know, because, you know, as you know, I mean, the audience is really there following you. You're the leader. You're up on stage. You're guiding the process. You're guiding the journey as to where they go. And so, but the key is to actually trust you so that they'll go there with you. So,
Right. So you've gone out on the cruise ship through most of September. I know it's never too early for the holidays and whatnot. So give me the details on how somebody can get in contact with you to book corporate events, Christmas parties, you know.
Yeah. My website is jasonmichaelsmagic.com, and that is the easiest way to get in touch with me. There's videos of me performing on there. My email address, which is jm@jasonmichaelsmagic.com. You know, there's an 800 number. They can call my office directly if they want to, or they can email if they're interested in more information. If they just want to find out what I do, if they want to get some promotional material, they can, you know, just contact us and we'll get that to you. But yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, doing it as a business, you know, actually being hired for private events, it's forced me to look at things differently. So, you know, you have to find a way to sort of fulfill yourself artistically and still give the people what they want, give them what makes them happy. And it's kind of a fun little dance, figuring it all out. But yeah, they can, yeah, people can check me out online, jasonmichaelsmagic.com.
And for those listening, if you want to swing on over to inexplicabledumbshow.com, I'll have a link to Jason's website on our show notes for this particular episode.
Oh, awesome.
Well, thank you, man.
Absolutely. Hey, fun talking to you. Thank you. I'm glad we were able to connect on this. This is so cool.
Anytime.
Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah. Use your name as your domain name. Check out DreamHost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show. All right, so I'd like to thank Jason Michaels for stopping by. Good luck on your cruises and avoid all the stormy weather that comes down through the tropics this time of year. How about that, huh? So the Dumb Show is about to reach 250 episodes, and I would love to hear from you guys. I'd like to put kind of an audience response episode together if that's possible. So get in contact with the Dumb Show. Send me an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com, or better yet, leave me a voicemail, and then I can take it directly on the episode, and you'll be right on air. So how about calling 615-866-1282? Let your voice be heard on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'd greatly appreciate it. Hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats, instant album downloads, or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.